1340WNBS.com presents The Neil Bradley Show.
Hello and welcome to the program. Today, Josh Planos will be along. We're not going to have a show next week due to the Christmas holiday, but Josh will talk about all the big bowl games, and we just don't have time to talk about all of them. So if your favorite team is playing and we didn't discuss them, that probably means they're playing someone unranked and we didn't discuss them. So I'm sorry. That's all the apology you'll get. There's a lot of big bowl games, though, that we will be talking about, and we'll get Josh's take on those. Josh is our college basketball expert, and we'll find out what he thinks. Before we get to Josh, though, we do have some information to pass along to you from our local teams. Last night, the Callaway County girls basketball team posting a 69-32 win over West Creek in their very own Murray Bank Hardwood tournament over at Jeffrey Gymnasium. What a Charlie Settle season she's having, other than being out with that ankle injury. Had a big game last night, 21 points, matched by her teammate, Alicia Hornbuckle, with 21. The Callaway girls back in action tonight against Caro at 7:30, also at Jeffrey Gymnasium. Other games in that tournament yesterday, Caro beating Fulton City, 50-43, Clarksville Northwest down Ballard Memorial, 52-22, and Lyon County over O'Brien Central, 59-49. And the Lady Marshall Classic, Marshall County is 60-42, win over Casey County. Shelby County destroyed Tillman 63-25. Webster County defeated Callaway County 69-58 Monday night in boys action. That was in the opening round of the Baptist Health and Sports Rehab Classic hosted by Webster County. Peyton Johnson led the Lakers with 17 points. Camden Price had 16. The Lakers 5-3. They play Barron County in that tournament today. A couple of other games yesterday in the region. Caldwell County down Carlisle County 96-70. That's in 32 minutes. That's a lot of points. McCracken County rolled Ballard Memorial 70-31. Murray High's boys and girls are off. We do know that Murray High will be playing the winner of yesterday's game between Christian Academy of Louisville and Scott. And Scott was the winner. So it'll be Murray High going against Scott in the traditional bank holiday classic at Lexington Catholic. And that'll be tomorrow. We're on the air with that at around 4:30. On 1340 WNBS. A busy time in the Ohio Valley Conference last night. A lot of games. Tennessee State, they only trailed by 4 at halftime against Duke. In fact, had the lead early in the second half, but a 13-0 Duke run put any thoughts of an upset out of the minds of the Tigers as Duke won 65-55. Furman beat Tennessee Tech 68-62. Eastern Kentucky took Norfolk State to overtime, but lost 87-80. Moorhead State 111, Central Arkansas 85. Belmont went on the road and defeated Milwaukee 62-56. Eastern Illinois down Fontbonne 101-49. Green Bay had to go overtime, but defeated SIU Edwardsville 94-92. And DePaul defeated SEMO 81-78. Some other regional interest scores. UNLV down SIU 68-61. Ole Miss beat Bradley 66-49. Mississippi State down Southern Miss 86-44. LSU over Charleston 75-65. Our past opponent and Steve Prohm's past opponent. The last opponent played on Saturday. South Dakota State, we lost. And Drake, Iowa State beat them. Well, South Dakota State played at Drake and won 83-75. Missouri State down Chicago State 66-46, and Indiana beat Delaware State 103-56. Some OVC women's games saw SEMO down Alabama A&M 75-47. Wright State beat EKU 85-73. Stetson down SIU Edwardsville 78-68. Tennessee State 69 and Bethune-Cookman 68. And Moorhead State beat Kinesis 77-68. So you had a couple other things. Report says the St. Louis Cardinals may be looking to deal first baseman Matt Adams. ESPN reports the Redbirds listing regarding inquiries for the 28-year-old slugger who hit 249 but did belt 16 home runs last year. The Cards are moving Matt Carpenter to first base. There's no DH. So what do you do with Adams? There, he has no other position. So that's it. Western Kentucky squaring off with Memphis in the Boca Raton Bowl at Florida Atlantic University Football Stadium tonight. The Tigers 8-4. WKU comes in at 10-3. All right, stay tuned. Josh Planos will be along in just a bit, right after this.
Racer fans,
Murray State basketball returns to the CFSB Center on Thursday, December 22nd, for an exciting matchup with the Raiders of Wright State. Ohio Valley Conference action is looming later this month, so come on out before the holidays and cheer on your Racers in this exciting matchup against Wright State. For more information, contact the ticket office at 270-809-3000 or go online at goracers.com. Welcome back to the program. Josh Planos is my guest, and Josh, we've talked a lot of college football this season, and there are several bowl games that will be going on that we probably will go ahead and pass on, including tonight that involves one of our teams, Western Kentucky in the Boca Raton Bowl. But I want to talk about some because we won't have a show next week due to the holiday, and that is starting on the 29th with the Alamo Bowl. This is the first one that involves two ranked teams against one another, Oklahoma State going against Colorado. Colorado having a really good season at 10-3. Give us your thoughts on that one.
You know, I think Colorado has had probably the most remarkable turnaround I can remember of any Power 5 team having. And, you know, you look at where they were at this time a year ago. You know, they're 4-9. The year before, they were 2-10. I believe from 2001 to 2015, they had the lowest, or worst rather, winning percentage of any Power 5 team in the country. And I think that this is a program that we usually see as reflective of success, of incredible rivalries, and really they haven't played anybody close for more than a decade now, and now look where they are. You know, I mean, even getting beaten by Washington is you know, not the worst thing when you're up to 10 wins, you're a top 10 team. I think that there's a lot to be happy about this season. I'm sure that the fans in Boulder would speak to that. You know, this team has really come a long way, and what better way to cap the season than by having a top 15 showdown with Oklahoma State, who, you know, I guess you could say these teams have met before in the past, you know, with the Big 12. And, you know, I think it should be quite the showdown. I expect plenty of offense, probably a game in the 30s. And, you know, even if Colorado loses, I mean, look at how far they've come from just 12 months ago. You know, you're talking about winning you know, an 11th game this season, which is something they haven't experienced in some time. So not a lot riding on the line, I think, as far as Colorado is concerned. Maybe for Oklahoma State in terms of preseason expectations. And, you know, everybody assumed Mason Rudolph would have a monster year this season, which he did. But, you know, they're still chasing that 10th win. So I think that there's more on the line for Oklahoma State as far as, you know, capping the season in proper fashion. Because Colorado, to me, is already such a success story that tonight is just the icing on the cake.
Also, on the 30th, the following day, we start with the Orange Bowl. It is Michigan and Florida State. Michigan, this isn't the bowl they want to be in, but it is where they are. They go up against a Florida State team that kind of had a roller coaster early on in the season, but sort of solidified things down the stretch. How do you see this one?
I mean, again, look at how far these two programs have come. I mean, Michigan 2 years ago was nowhere, and sure enough, Jim Harbaugh showed up, and overnight they were, you know, a national threat. I remember I was covering a Husker home game this season, and Florida State was just getting bashed by Louisville. It was the third week of the season, and the bowl official turned to me and said they would be lucky to have any bowl except them at this point. And, of course, he was being hyperbolic, but, right. I mean, it just kind of went to show that, you know, when you give up 63 points, you know, to a team that you traditionally dominate, I think a lot of doubters are going to start creeping in, and a lot of people are going to start, you know, forgetting all that you've done in previous years. And yet, you know, look where they've come. They're coming off four wins entering this. I think it should be a real I would expect it to be close. I mean, I know Michigan seems to, you know, win big and only win big, and Florida State seems to play, I think, a little bit closer to the chest. But I would expect Michigan's defense to win the day, because to me that defense is unbelievable. I would say, in my opinion, they're the second best defense in the country behind Alabama. I know that there are arguments to be made for plenty of other programs, Ohio State included, but that defense to me is locked and ready for the NFL, even though it sounds like Jabril might be coming back, which is absurd and another conversation entirely. But I really like where Michigan is defensively, and I think offensively, if they can just get, you know, one touchdown, that might be enough, because I don't see Dalvin Cook being able to run against the teeth of the Wolverines defense. And I would expect Michigan's defense to be the primary factor.
Three big games, of course, on New Year's Eve, including the Citrus Bowl, number 20 LSU against number 13 Louisville. This one may be losing a little of its luster, as Leonard Fournette's not going to play in the game. At least that's the report. What does that do to this?
Yeah, I would say that all but guarantees a win for Louisville, and I know that that's you know, speaking broadly, but I really think that he matters that much to the offense. I know that you know, the backup set the LSU single game record in kind of a, you know, a feat of irony when we think about, you know, how what we thought Leonard Fournette would do this season. But I really think LSU's offense is explosive. I think that they still have something to play for, which is a 10th win this season. LSU already has its coaching situation under control, so, you know, even if they get blown out, I don't foresee them running into any issues there. I just don't know if LSU is going to be able to score enough points, and I know Louisville in weeks past has not been, you know, the most fluid team or the most consistent even. You know, they're coming off two straight losses, but I really like what Petrino has done there. I think that this team is better than seasons past, much better, in fact, and I think Lamar Jackson's going to want to not just settle on winning the Heisman. I think he's going to want to have one last, you know, hurrah and one last moment to you know, kind of reflect on the season with, and I think that there's going to be plenty of holes for him to run through against LSU.
Then we get to the college football championship series as we get the semifinal games. One of those, the Peach Bowl between Washington and Alabama, and I still recall, I believe before the season started, Washington went from unranked in the postseason last year, the postseason poll, to preseason in the top 12, 15. I don't remember exactly where they ranked, and I was quite puzzled by that and asked you, and you said you thought it was legit, and here they are legitimately playing for a national championship against Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, I think I also wrote before the season that about three games that might deter Alabama from winning a national title this year. And sure enough, they just destroyed all three of those opponents. So, you know, you take what you can get, I guess, in this business. But I really think Alabama is just otherworldly. 538 seems to come out with a different week, a different article every week, rather, that that kind of expresses how dominant they've been. I believe last week they said, using the point spread and the location of the game and the quality of the opponent, that this is the best team of all time, and that has already exceeded the performance of the 1995 Nebraska Cornhuskers, which are traditionally considered at least a top five team. I really think Alabama is just too good. I think Washington's been a great story, and I think Peterson's done a terrific job, but you know, Alabama is just on a mission, and I think it's going to be really hard to stop them. I think it's going to be really hard to find anything against that defense, which seems to score more points than the opponent's offense each and every week. I mean, they're riding some ridiculous streak of defensive touchdowns. I think it's one of the best single season performances in the history of college football. So it's going to be tough for and I'm a big Jake Browning fan. I just think him and John Ross are a lot of fun. But it's going to be really tough to find anything of value against Alabama's defense. And you know, similar to how I feel about Michigan, I mean, if your offense can get you one score, that might be enough. And that's really something to value and to take note of, you know, going into a game like this. Because I can tell you how many times Nebraska has wished that they had an elite level defense going into a game that could get them a touchdown or that could hold the game to 14 points, and they just simply don't have it. So I really like Alabama in this matchup. I expect them to cruise regardless of who they're playing over the next month.
Ohio State and Clemson in the Fiesta Bowl. And this one to me is, of all that I'm seeing, there's two games that stand out that I really want to see. This is one of them. Ohio State, Clemson. To me, this is just a terrific game on paper.
Absolutely. I think it's added more gasoline when Deshaun Watson said he's the best player in the country. Heading into the matchup, I think that he feels like he has a lot to prove. Clemson, for whatever reason, feels like they're being slighted, even though they nearly lost like four or five games this season.
Right.
I really like Ohio State, and I was proved wrong against Michigan. I was certainly proved wrong against Nebraska. I assumed they would win. I didn't assume that they would, put up this historically dominant effort. I mean, that was the second biggest loss in program history for Nebraska. So, I mean, this is a program with roots dating back to 1890. So it was really remarkable what they were able to do. I think the matchup is loaded with talent. And I think JT Barrett is probably pretty tired of people telling him that he didn't perform well enough this season, or he didn't have, the record-breaking season that he did his first year on campus. And I think he's got a lot to prove. I think Clemson has, again, played so many close to the chest that I would expect Barrett and company to really put on a show. And I would expect Ohio State's defense to kind of prove that they're up to the task of containing one of the best quarterbacks in the country.
Three really good games, at least in my opinion, as well, on January 2nd. And these are the final ones we'll talk about. And one of those, the Outback Bowl. Actually, there's four games here. Florida against Iowa. And the Gators, to me, sort of made a comeback story for themselves in the SEC. And Iowa, I didn't really think they were going to do a lot early in the season after coming off a terrific year. But here they are in a pretty good bowl game.
Yeah, and I know a lot of Husker fans feel slighted about this because Nebraska was projected to go to the Outback Bowl all the way up until their matchup with Iowa. And once Iowa steamrolled them, Iowa basically had the opportunity to turn down going back to the Outback Bowl, which they've gone to a number of times in the past 10 years, or to go to a different bowl. And they chose to go to the Outback Bowl, which sent Nebraska to Nashville, which I'm a huge fan of Nashville, but I know a lot of Husker fans really wanted to get down to Tampa.
Sure.
And so, that's just another bit of fuel for the fire of the Nebraska-Iowa rivalry next season. I really like what Iowa's done. I think what they did to Nebraska was incredible. It seemed to be almost like a throwback to years past, where they had a dominant running back get at least 100 on the ground, a quarterback who really didn't have much in the way of responsibility, and a defense that was loaded in the front seven. And, they really shut down Nebraska. So I guess the last 3 weeks, they haven't given up more than 13 points, and they've played Nebraska, Illinois, and Michigan, rather. So those are some pretty quality teams and a pretty solid showing entering the matchup. I think, like you said, Florida's been great. They've played a filthy, difficult schedule this season, but I don't know if they've got the offense to put up the points, and I'm going to go with the defense that I'm thinking will win the day, and to me that's Iowa.
In the Rose Bowl, Penn State, and we had talked about this as well, going up against USC. And if I'm a Penn State fan, I am about as mad as hell as you could possibly be that I'm not in the Final Four. But they're not. However, if you want to make a case for yourself, got to beat USC. If not, you have no case.
Yeah, I think that this is a team that really has a lot to play for. And, similar in the same sense as Colorado, you would assume that this would be, this season would be enough at this point, that they would have accomplished everything that they wanted to. And I think that might be true, but I really do think that the Penn State and Nittany Lions are ready to go. And, back in the Rose Bowl, this is, considered one of the best, if not the best bowl game of the past, six decades.
Sure.
And I think what'll win the day is the fourth quarter. And right now, Penn State is the number one fourth quarter team in the country. They've outscored opponents by 111 points this season.
Wow.
I really like what they're able to do in the final 15 minutes. And I think that this is a matchup that looks like it'll go to the fourth quarter competitive. I don't see it being a blowout. Especially the way Penn State has played its past few weeks, where it seemingly gets into the fourth and then explodes. I really like I like Penn State to come out on top, with a couple of fourth quarter drives.
Early in the season, there were some people who thought we would see Auburn or Oklahoma or maybe both in the drive for the national championship into the Final Four, semifinals. But here they are in the Sugar Bowl, still a really good bowl, but not where either wanted to be.
No, no, certainly not. And I think, I guess if you look at Oklahoma going 1-2 in its first 3 weeks, they'd probably be happy to, to get to a marquee bowl game. That was such a difficult stretch, where they had Houston, they had Ohio State. Immediately after that game, they had to go to TCU, which at the time seemed like a really, tall task. I like Oklahoma in this matchup because I think that they have probably three of the top 12 players in the Big 12 conference. And I think that's a lot of, explosiveness. They've showed that they can get by without a star-studded defense. I think we all remember the game in which it was like a video game where they played versus Texas Tech and won 66-59, and seemingly everybody on the roster got a touchdown. So I really think that they're going to be too much offensively for Auburn to handle. I haven't seen a lot of Auburn's games. I'll be up front with that, but I really don't think Auburn has much in the way of an offense. And against Oklahoma, a team that is going to put up at least four touchdowns, that's going to be really problematic. So I like Oklahoma. I also feel like they probably have, plenty of adversity that they're going through right now, and in that the Joe Mixon tape has been brought to light. D.D. Westbrook's pass has been brought to light. I think that they're going to come out with a fire and a vengeance and really want to, make sure that they can channel all of that emotion into a football game. So I would expect Oklahoma to really blow the doors off in this one.
And the other January 2nd game, Western Michigan against Wisconsin. I know many will feel Wisconsin will roll Western Michigan, and that's probably exactly what P.J. Fleck wants everybody to think. I can't wait to see this game.
No, me neither. I think Western Michigan had not a case for the playoff, but I really thought that they had a case for being in the top 12, and for them to still be 15th despite being 13-0, I think is really unfortunate for them. I mean, Northwestern, I think, is a really quality win. It's probably their most quality win of the season. And, they went into Evanston to start the year and got it. And, from there it was almost like, the program is deflated now because the biggest win is out of the way. Wisconsin's defense has been incredible this season. I'm probably going to go with Wisconsin purely because of that, not because they're a bigger program with more resources, though that certainly plays into it. I just think that defense is incredible. You've got J.J. Watt's brother, who's all over the field. You've got players who have really stepped up because they've actually lost a number of players, particularly linebackers, this season due to season-ending injuries. And I think Wisconsin's defense, I mean, seeing it up close, it's like a nightmare. I mean, they're coming at you from everywhere. They've got blitz packages for every down and distance. And I think that's going to be a lot for Western Michigan's offense to try and handle. So, again, you look at the season, 13-1 is an incredible accomplishment for Western Michigan. And that's, nothing to take away from this season. But I think Wisconsin is the better team, and I think they'll show it.
Before I let you go, I know you have your team, Nebraska, going up against Tennessee in the Music City Bowl. I realize that at least on the surface is neutral, but it is in Tennessee. Do you think the Huskers can get it done?
It just looks to be too tall of an order at this point. I think if they can play with Tommy, I think if Tommy Armstrong is the starting quarterback, which it seems very unlikely he will be, that will be a game that's potentially winnable. I think Tennessee is trending in the wrong direction and has shown a lot of those flaws that we've seen in years past that have really cost them, shots at the SEC title. But I think that, Nebraska's already going to be without its top receiver in Jordan Westerkamp. You've lost some defensive players. And if you're about to start Riker Fife and which would be his third career start, I think that's a pretty tall order for a guy like that. So I would expect Tennessee to get the job done. I really like what they do offensively, and I think it really will come down to whether or not Tommy is good to go, because Dobbs is going to put up points. I think everybody knows that.
Josh, I appreciate the visit. A lot of good information on the bowl games. Have a great holiday, and we'll check back with you and see how we did on all these, all right?
Same to you. Thanks, Neil.
All right, that is Josh Plinos. Coming up on tomorrow's show, Ed Marlowe of the Paducah Sun will wrap up the week that was for the Racers. Ed's covering some high school hoops. We'll talk about that as well on the Wednesday edition of the Neil Bradley Show at 1340 WNBS.com.